Well, the release of internal files from the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, WPATH, which pushes the changing of sex of young people through puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones, suggests that the guidelines of WPATH are neither scientific nor medical. Thousands of doctors worldwide rely on WPATH, including our own Health New Zealand, Whatu Ora, and it's also being pushed by the activist group PATHA, PATHA, out of Waikato University. In fact, as I showed in the last McBlog, there's a strong connection to WPATH, and in fact, a New Zealand activist helped with the latest guidelines, and another activist is on the worldwide board. Now, the WPATH files include emails, messages from an internal discussion forum by doctors, as well as statements from a video call of WPATH members, which was leaked. And today, we speak to Dr. Carrie Mendoza regarding WPATH and what the WPATH files mean for the future of the gender affirmation model, which pushes young people towards trying to change their sex. So Dr. Carrie Mendoza is involved, I better get this description right, an emergency medical physician and director of GenSpect in the United States. And GenSpect, of course, is with Stella O'Malley, who we've interviewed previously. Dr. Mendoza, really appreciate your time. I know it's incredibly busy. I think you've just come off what's it called? Where everyone gets together and chats about issues.
Twitter spaces.
Twitter spaces, that's it. And and obviously there's been a lot of media coverage, although you'll be interested to know that there has been zilch media coverage of this in New Zealand. They just don't want to talk about it. So could I get you, firstly, for those who are just catching up with all of this, could you just give us a Reader's Digest version of basically what the WPATH files is all about?
Absolutely. And thank you, Bob, so much for having me. What a pleasure to come on your show and help discuss these things in New Zealand. You know, the WPATH files are those internal video as well as internal chats on a forum that were leaked to Michael Schellenberger, an investigative reporter. And it's showing conversations and information over a 3 to 4 year period. And, you know, it's WPATH, for those who might not know, is the main medical association for transgender health. That's how they project themselves, saying that they're up to date on information, that they have guidelines that they call standards of care that help clinicians implement best practices. And they've played a central role, as you were mentioning, in New Zealand, but also here in the United States, in terms of other medical associations following their guidelines. And what, just at a high level, the leaks showed is that the public face of what WPATH says is very different from the private face. So publicly, it is, you know, we are following the data, the science settled here, we know what we're doing, trust us about best practices. But privately, within these snippets of back and forth conversations and video, there's clearly evidence that they're struggling to know, well, who are the proper people to actually call out that aren't appropriate for treatment. They say people should have mental health assessments, but yet we're seeing them provide these therapies for people who are very, very deeply mentally disturbed, talking about someone with multiple personalities. There is also, you know, they say that they're, you know, again, very clear about how they're evolving with information, but yet it seems that if anyone raises any concerns, they're somewhat shunned in these chat rooms. So I think it's just important for your audience to know, your country, everyone, that the WPATH is projecting a public persona about the science is settled that doesn't seem at all to reflect what they're saying internally.
Okay, so what has been the pushback? I think I saw some commentary suggesting, look, this is just a bunch of doctors on a Zoom call, and they really don't reflect the practice of WPATH. What's your response to that?
Yes, we've had that, the, you know, oh, isn't this how doctors just sort of, you know, talk when they're just trying to work things out? And, you know, as a physician practicing for 25 years, and obviously with the evolution of technology, there are forums where physicians talk, even within electronic health records, there can be discussions that doctors have. And I can assure you that I've personally never seen any doctor talk like this. I don't, you know, if there is, for example, there's a couple exchanges regarding concerns how hormones might be related to causing liver tumors. A 16-year-old who is seeing an oncologist because of a concerning mass that is said, well, this could be from the hormones. That type of discussion, if physicians were talking about that in some type of forum, the next thing they would say is, well, what are we doing here to alert the patients who are on these medicines? We need, oh my gosh, this is very concerning. Let's do something about it, you know? And we have not seen at all that type of next step by WPATH. If they did do that, send out some type of alert or, you know, hey, let's make sure we've got the right guidelines here. Everyone would love to see that. But again, that it's really not how doctors, you know, doctors talk in regards to risks or in regards to, you know, discussions where if there's an activist in the group, like we see in this WPATH forum, activists are allowed to join and are part of these talks. I don't have pharmaceutical reps in my chat rooms telling me, oh, hey, you know, you need to be, you know, oh, no, you should prescribe this drug, like during the opioid crisis or something. So we have laws. You cannot mix the activists, the sellers with the doctors or just it's really not appropriate at all what I've ever seen with physicians.
It was interesting because I was just on the phone before I talked to you and talking about these documents that have been released. And it was with a pediatrician based here in New Zealand who shall remain nameless. But they said to me, look, you know, I was talking about the fact that, you know, some of the concerns about the hormone treatment was it can result in cancers and damage. And he said, well, we've already known that with adults. So, you know, none of this is a surprise to us. Why is this type of information not, hasn't come out before about the concerns to the health of young people? You know, that they've told us that puberty blockers are fully reversible and cross-sex hormones are not really a big issue. But now we're realizing actually, no, that it is a big issue.
Yeah, it is just become such a politicized topic. And I think that there's an aggressiveness of the activists. And I think it's caused people to have fear about speaking out. So there is like a spiral of silence, so to speak. There's a lot of historical information about the cancer-causing effects of hormones that are used at very high levels. You know, there was DES, which was a hormone that was used in pregnancy to help with the pregnancy symptoms way back in the 40s and 50s, and that resulted in the next generation, you know, having a very unusual, you know, vaginal type cancer. So there are these different things, but also I think what's happened in the space is there's really just poor tracking of data. And I know in the United States, also poor tracking of prescriptions. So I think we're just unclear what are the doses being used. There's talk in the WPATH files about kind of titrating or adjusting doses for like specific bodily effects. So we don't really know, we're not tracking it. And so we don't know really, you know, we know there's a risk, but it's not being systematically tracked. And I think that's because it's become a politicized issue. And these safety and health issues should not be political at all. I mean, I want, you know, if someone is trans identified and they're getting treatments, you know, we should be making sure that there's proper data and everything being tracked, because we don't want people to be getting cancer.
Okay, now this interview with us comes off the back of an announcement this morning coming out of the UK that the NHS is banning puberty blockers. That's a major development, isn't it?
A major, major development. It is really, really significant. I think we'll look back and say, you know, this was one of the key moments along with the release of the WPATH files. I think because, you know, these institutions, these sort of governing bodies, when they have gone off track, we can see how hard it is to get them to course correct. And I think the fact that the NHS, I know there's been a process with the Hillary Cass review, et cetera, and there is going to be a report soon. But the fact that they're saying that is just tremendous because it's an off ramp and it closes a door to this medicalization that starts very young for these prepubescent children that puts them on a track that they just don't get off. They go to cross-sex hormones, then they could go to surgeries. And so I think closing that door is just so significant. And I know for us in the United States, and obviously I can imagine for you there, you know, having an institution like the NHS say, hey, we aren't doing this anymore because it's not evidence-based and there's harms outweigh any benefit. That's going to have huge ripple effects. And we hope here in the United States, it really does, that our medical organizations and our government here will really gain some moral courage here to get off this political ramp and get back on to what is sound medicine and join the NHS and with this first step of banning the puberty blockers.
Exactly. Just one other argument that I see is, and I heard your commentary on this, and I'd like you to share it with our viewers, is that the argument is that there's very few detransitioners. They're about, you know, 1-3% maybe. Every young person who goes through puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones and then starts chopping healthy parts off their body, actually they're very happy. And you know, why are we stopping them from happiness? What's your response to that?
Oh my gosh. You know, I mean, just first of all, as a practicing physician, thinking of harming one patient, it is one too much. And, you know, we practice in a culture of safety and making sure we're getting the right diagnosis. So again, I think we're in this environment where people are getting these treatments. It's not even clear, you know, what is exactly they're diagnosing. They're just unhappy kids that they've created this environment around and giving them essence. So in terms of the detransitioners, you know, really, again, there's an environment, it's so politicized, they're so shamed. These clinics are not welcoming them back because it's ideological. And so it's only this upside, this front side of transitioning, but the backside they want to say doesn't exist because that would weaken their ideology that this is some type of innate part of you versus something that maybe a group of these kids are latching onto because of mental health comorbidities. And also in the United States, again, we don't have billing codes for detransition. So just the language of how medicine is expressed in order to bill for it, and then it later counted in research and everything is done by these billing codes. So when we don't even have a billing code for detransition, you can't even properly count how many of these patients are out there, how many have been going to clinics for various things but are miscoded. So and again, these are human beings, and if we're treating, there's a medical mistreatment of them, one is too many.
Too many. Yeah. Just finally, what's your message to parents and community leaders, church leaders, even politicians who are watching this, in terms of the WPATH files, now the decision by the NHS to ban puberty blockers, a new study out of Finland which said that the suicide trope that, you know, better an alive son than a dead daughter doesn't hold weight. It seems like, as you mentioned earlier, we've reached a tipping point and finally common sense is actually kicking in. So what's your message to those watching?
I say that, join, feel confident that there is definitely a tipping point. This is a very politicized environment, but there are many with moral courage. I think it's easier to access data, information talking about this. So you can go to Environmental Progress, download the WPATH report. It is quite lengthy. There's a lot of information there, but it's something that you can point to when you might be talking with your, pediatrician or, people at school. And again, obviously the NHS's decision, that's something you can point to and look at and say, look, they've really changed course. I think we need to look at all this information too, and we need to join them and really knowing that this is medical mistreatment of these young people and vulnerable adults, and that we can all agree it shouldn't be political, and we should really be stopping it.
Yeah. Carrie, I know it's been an incredibly busy time for you. You've got media interviews coming out the wazoo, so we're grateful to grab this time off you, and thank you for letting people know exactly what's going on. We'll keep spreading the message, and maybe our New Zealand media might report some of these issues. We will wait and see. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure, Bob. Thank you for having me, and be happy to come back again and help in any way. Thank you so much.